Well, good morning to everyone. That was beautiful. I really do appreciate Mr. Lambert's sermonette and the offertory. It is important that we all realize how much we rely on each other. You know, God is creating a family, and soon, you know, the whole world will be a part of that family. You know, let's turn to Matthew 24 to begin with. You know, it's up to each and every one of us to, you know, as we make ourselves ready, but we also have the responsibility to help out each and every one of each other. Matthew 24 and verse 32. Christ says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near." Now, Christ has learned the parable of the fig tree. He wants us to learn. What does He want us to put into our minds this morning as we come to His high day on this Feast of Trumpets? You know, God's not concerned whether or not a fig tree begins bringing out its leaves. You know, He's wanting us to learn something here. You know, not that we should be concentrating on the hour or the day when the Father's going to send the Son back to this earth, but He wants us to have the mindset of being alert, to be awake. You know, remember when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He went to pray, and the disciples fell asleep, and He comes back to them, and He's, you know, "Could you not have stayed awake for me, just, you know, while I pray? Could you not pray with me?" You know, he encourages them. He tells them, "You need to stay awake. Stay awake with me. Be watchful." And Christ is telling us, even though we don't know the day or the hour of His return, but He gives us enough that we should be mindful of it. The Cambridge commentary talks about the time of the fig tree budding coincided with the barley harvest. And when we see these things approaching, that the harvest of God's people will be near, and then the gathering of all mankind to face the wrath of Satan, and the great tribulation when the beast power will be set up, and the wrath of God upon the beast and upon those that worship Him. And Christ goes on to say, "So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors." You know, Christ said, "I am the door of the sheep. You know, he who enters through Him will be saved. Otherwise, if we don't come through Him, then other doors will be opened that we don't want to walk through." Verse 34, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now it's interesting to know, I looked online this week, of how many times people have tried to predict when the Son of Man will come back to this earth. Just the recorded ones, I came up with, it was over 50-something. The earliest was back in the year 500 when, I don't remember their names, three men came up with the dimensions of the ark and concluded that those dimensions somehow helped them figure out the exact return of Jesus Christ. But you've also got six predictions ahead of us. You've got one from 2019, which you know that's impossible because the beast power hadn't been set up for 3.5 years. 2020, one is between the years of 2024 and 2037, and then the latest I saw was the year 2057. But Christ says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, Christ is encouraging us, telling us, pleading with us, stay awake, be ready. You know, we must invite Christ into our hearts each and every day to help us so that we don't succumb to the evils of this world, so don't become lethargic, laid back. You know, we don't know the time of the end, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, but we do know, you know, we could all something can happen to us tonight, and then there's God's kingdom for each and every one of us. We know others that have gone before us just in the past 10 years, as Mr. Kelly read in his sermon. We come here on the Feast of Trumpets to be reminded that we must stay alert, and that the trumpet blast signaling the return of Christ will herald in the beginning of the end of carnal human nature, of the end of the Babylonian system, the Babylon system that Satan has set up that has deceived the whole world. But just to think about the carnal mind, that enmity against God will be, as he's working with us to do away with, will eventually come to all men. So let's turn to Leviticus 23 this morning. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. Verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy, convocations, these are my feasts." We do come here on God's holy feast day. Now these, we know these are not the world's feast days. They're not my feast day. They're not your feast day. They're not Moses. They're not the Jews. They're God's feast days. They're beacons that God has set up for us to remember throughout our lives, just as He spoke about the fig tree. We're to remember, to stay alert, to stay awake for when our time comes. And in verse 23, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Today we do keep the commandments. We come here to keep God's feast day as it's commanded, as a memorial, something that helps us to remember. In Numbers 10 and verse 1, you know, you've got the trumpets that are made, the silver trumpets. They were used for calling an assembly. They were used for going to war. You know, God has allowed us to hear the trumpet in our life today. We come here assembled before our God in Jesus Christ because we want our minds to be changed. You know, I heard a sermon a class that Mr. Johnson gave, and he was baptizing a woman. And he asked the woman, he says, you know, as he was getting ready to baptize her, he says, you know, tell me in your own words, why do you want to be baptized? And she looked up at him with tears in her eyes because she said, I'm tired of being me. I don't want this mind. And it's, you know, as the people of God, we see that, you know, this is what we want. And it's hard to fathom a world that does not want peace, does not want a relationship with God. But God has called us to know to hear the trumpet sound today, that we can change and overcome. You know, trumpets were signals. You couldn't call everyone like you can today with phones. We didn't have a PA system where you could shout out. They had trumpets. And the trumpet that was for calling an assembly was different than the trumpet that signaled for war. Brethren, we've been called out of this world to hear the blast in our lives to go to war, to be alerted, as we've already heard, to help each other. We've been called to see sin and war with it. You know, a lot of times we don't want someone to know our sin. It's like a secret thing that we have to hide. Instead of going before each other, you know, James says, confess your sins to each other. You know, are we afraid to do that? Afraid of what somebody might think? Or are we here to help each other or to take the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword that's able to cut us, and talk with each other back and forth to help each other get rid of the carnal human nature that we have? We do see sin. The world doesn't see the darkness that they're in. It has captured them. They don't know what they're doing. The same eyes that looked on man and said every intention of his heart is evil, and he grieves for them. He was grieved in his heart to see the darkness that Satan has brought upon this His children, as we just heard. But when that trumpet is blown, He says, I will save them from their enemies. Today is an encouraging thing. A lot of people in this world will go through a lot of stuff, but God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but to save it. There is a darkness on mankind. They don't know they're groaning within themselves. Even we groan within ourselves, and we look forward to the day when God will give us new bodies so that we can be revealed and help those that are groaning. Christ came so that we could come out of darkness into light. He came so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Give us His Holy Spirit so that we can change, to repent, to always have a repentant mind. That is the greatest gift God has given us. And do we comprehend that? The ability to wake up with God and say, I don't want to be me. I want to be you. You know, God says He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever shall believe in Him shall never perish but have everlasting life. He didn't come to condemn the world but to save it. And God gave us, His people, He says, go and learn the parable of the fig tree. Not to predict the day or the hour, but to stay alert. There is a time of trouble that is coming on this world. Joel 1:15 says, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Chapter 2 and verse 1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. And in verse 11, He says, the Lord gives voice before His army. For His camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Brethren, there is a day of trouble coming upon this world, and we groan for them. We don't want that to happen. But sin cannot be tolerated. It has to be done away with. In order to have the mind of God, and for the entire universe to have the mind of God, we can only see through a glass darkly, but that is something that we really hope for. We long for it. We must stay alert, as God says, because we don't want to endure it. We are told to learn the parable of the fig tree, learn what leads up to the return of Christ, so that we can be ready. He tells us, for this reason, you two be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't think. But He says, when those days are coming, He says, you know, hold your heads up high, for your redemption is near. So let's go to Revelation 1 this afternoon. To begin with, Revelation 1, as we learn the parable of the fig tree, I know these are verses that we all know, but this is a day of memorial, a day of blowing of trumpets. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants, things which must shortly take place, and He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. God the Father gave this revelation to Jesus Christ to show us what is happening, what will happen, and what will take place through His angel. He says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. We have been given eyes to see, ears to hear. They've been opened up to us to understand. And we've been given eyes to see, to hear, to realize how blessed we are to be called out of this world. Revelation in verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I've got some ushers that I've got a form here I want to pass out. This form was passed out years ago. I've just redone it a little bit. To help us go through the seals, we can pass them out now. Mainly will be in the Scriptures, but you can use it as you do. Stay alert in the coming months, years ahead to use it. Just always stay watchful, to be mindful. It says the prophecy was given to all the churches down through the ages in verse 11. Now, the church teaches that these are church eras that have gone down through the ages. But they're also mindsets that we can all fall into. You know, we need to, I don't have time to go over the churches of Ephesus, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. I don't have time to go through the churches. But study them and be mindful of the attitudes that all these churches had. To know that, you know, this is the carnal human mind that can fall into. And we need to make ourselves always ready to guard against it, to know that we are capable of having this mindset. These seals could not be opened until Jesus Christ came to prevail, to become the sacrifice for us all. And He was there to take the book from the Father's hand and was able to open the seals. And in chapter 5 and verse 7, I can't get my throat clear this morning. Chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, then He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. Now when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us, brethren, to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, all of mankind, even those that are in this world right now, His children. Christ has redeemed each and every one of us, but each in His own order. Each of us have to be called in the time that God sees in according to His will. All mankind will have the opportunity to be in God's kingdom. Today is a day of salvation for us, His people. We're being judged now, but we know that those people that are in the world, they're in the dark, not burning in hell, that have already gone before. Now we come to the seals in chapter 6, which Christ opens. These are only birth pains. They're only sorrows that lead up to the day of the Lord, to the second coming of Christ. And in chapter 6, verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to one who sat on it to take place from the earth, to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And a voice, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. You know, Christ is the one that opened these seals to be revealed to us, to let us know. He's the one that tells us what each and every one of these seals mean in Revelation 24. You go through the first 10 verses, I think it is, or 9 verses, that tells us, he expounds on what these seals represent, the religious deception that is going to come upon mankind. He talks about wars and rumors of wars that will always plague us because of the God of this world, because of the mind that we have taken on. You know, the famines that plague us. Death. Death is going to happen to all mankind. Physical death and eternal death if we don't come through Jesus Christ. But also, when Christ came and He started His church and He allowed us to see who we are, if you look down through these things, you can see our mindset. He allows us to have our mindset. We're not under religious... We don't fall for the religious deception of this world. You know, we came out of that carnal human nature, even though we still battle it. We haven't overcome it yet, but He's given us a mind to understand religious deception, the carnal mind, the one that wants to worship the God of this world instead of the God that we worship, the God of heaven and earth. You know, He called us, that when He called us out of the world, He allowed us to go to war with ourselves, to want to change, to have that mindset to get up with our Father each and every morning and to go to war. You know, you have some in this world that always are bitter and strifeful, and we have to battle against that mindset. And God is in Christ, even though He allows us to see what is happening to man, He allows us to see ourselves through these seals. But all of these are just merely birth pains. They're just sorrows. And even Paul said ourselves, or said to us, you know, even us, we groan within ourselves, waiting for our redemption when Jesus Christ will come and will be born as God beings in His kingdom. That was Matthew 24, verses 1 through 7, that Christ expounds on that. Now let's continue in verse 9 in Revelation 6. When He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which He held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until You judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them, and they said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. You know, we have the book of Hebrews that tells us about those that have gone before us, the faithful, their mindsets, their steadfastness, their alertness, their willingness to have trials of mockings and scourgings. In Hebrews 11, verse 36 through 40, it talks about those that were stoned, that were sawn in two, that were tortured, that did not accept their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Because God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I mean, we can all look forward to the time when God will raise all of His people at one time and will shine just like God and the Father and Jesus Christ will. When the whole earth will see that brightness, can you imagine what it will be like when all of us shine with Jesus Christ and with God the Father? That brightness that will fill the whole earth. You know, God symbolically tells us that they will rest a little longer. They're not alive in heaven, and they're awaiting, they're resting until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who were killed as they were, was completed. Paul and Peter, you know, at the end of their letters. You know, they gave their mindset on what they were thinking about, waiting as they were waiting to be executed. So let's go to Revelation 12 and verse 10. Revelation 12 and verse 10. This sixth seal coincides with the wrath of Satan. Revelation 12 verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Now Revelation 12 is an inset chapter. It gives us a very fast history of the church. Verse 11, he says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that Christ's return is imminent, and that his time to be thrown down into the bottomless pit is coming. So what does he do? He knows he can't fight against Michael and the angels. He can't fight against God, as it says in verse 7 through 9. He's cast down to the earth. So what does he do? He brings wrath on the church. Verse 13. "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." Satan will stop at nothing to get at us. He hates us. You can see the evil in the world and see the mind of Satan. When a person is willing to blow themselves up for their God, it shows hate. When people are willing to abort millions of babies each and every year, there's like a million babies. The last count was 2013, and over 51 million babies have been aborted in this country since Roe versus Wade. 51 million babies. 51 million children of God. That's how much Satan hates us, hates God's creation, or he hates God's children. We see his mindset in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, when it talks about the end times, that there will be the perilous days, the mindset of mankind. Satan will send out his signals to those that are not called by God, those that can't, that don't recognize it. They don't know how to fight against it, and they fight against each other. At this time, the beast of Revelation 13 reigns, because the dragon that is cast down to the earth gives his power to the beast and also the small beast and the false prophet. Revelation 13 and verse 1. Revelation 13 and verse 1. "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wounds was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And he was granted to him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Christ tells us, God's people, in Luke 10 and verse 20, "Do not rejoice that I've given you power over this spirit world." Don't be don't rejoice that I have given them, made them subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in the book. We're told that he who overcomes will be arrayed in white and will by no means have his name blotted out. We are sealed. We are the people of God that are sealed. Satan is going to come and he's going to fight against the Israel of God, the Israelite nation. He's going to wreak havoc on the entire world because he knows that he has a short time and he hates that he does not have the opportunity that we have to be God's people. He was created to be a ministering spirit, and he doesn't like that. It says in Daniel 7, verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into the hand for a time, times, and half a time. The beast represented also is also represented in Daniel 2 and in Daniel 7, the last resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. 10 kings will give its power to the beast. The beast's power will be backed by a religious figure who will rise up and cause persecution on all those who do not worship the beast. And in verse 11, Revelation 13 and verse 11, this figure is also the false prophet spoken of in chapter 16. It is the culmination of the Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. It is the great false church spoken of in Nahum 3, Jeremiah 51, and Isaiah 47. And in Revelation 13, verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the beast of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the beast, the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the beast or the feet of the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. This man Paul writes about in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, the man of sin. It says that he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. That image of the beast should both speak and cause as many would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. You know, is he going to bring about a time where he think that people would think the image of the beast is holy, causing them to want to worship it? The small beast will be used as a tool to cause everyone to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. And I don't have time to go through the mark of the beast. If you want to find out more about that, there's articles on Life, Hope, and Truth. There's one article that Mr. Trabig wrote titled 666, The Number of the Beast. And also Mr. Hafley wrote an article titled Mark of the Beast. God will counter this system that this beast has set up, this religion that will cause the beast to be worshipped. And he will send forth his two witnesses. In Revelation 11 and verse 3. Revelation 11 and verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy that 1,260 days. clothed in sackcloth. 1,260 days. This is 42 prophetic months. There's 360 prophetic days in a year. It is time, times, and half a time. All these things begin to happen when the fifth seal is broken. This is the time period that the Gentiles will occupy Jerusalem and tread it underfoot. And there's so much more that I haven't even touched, but that's the whole point of us getting together before services each week, after services, that we can talk to each other and be ready. There's a whole lot that I haven't covered, but we can talk about it more and more. I'm just giving the basics. You know, if you want to know more, watch Mr. Meeker's classes on Daniel and Revelation. I mean, there's no way to cover all this in 1 hour, what he covers in a lot of classes. It says in verse 4, "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. They will have the same message as Enoch did before the flood. The same message Moses, Elijah, the same message Jesus Christ has to repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe in Jesus Christ. Turn. Turn to God. But people will not repent. We know that we have this treasure in us. We as God's people rejoice in the fact that we have Christ. We have God the Father and Jesus Christ living in us. The light of this world that shines on us, we have to ask Him to shine on us to reveal what needs to be changed. Through Him, we have the power to grow and to overcome. Through Him, we see the Father, our teacher, who brings us to Christ. By the blood of Christ, and through the blood of Christ, we're able to come to the Father, to be reconciled to Him, to repent, to always having a repentant attitude, a repentant mind. I can't imagine the mind influenced by Satan that will see what they don't want to repent. But we used to have that mindset. We didn't see what not to repent of. All these things happen when Christ breaks the fifth seal. So what do? Before that happens, we count backwards on this chart. You know, this is 3.5 years before Jesus Christ returns, when the beast power is set up, when He sends these two witnesses. What do we do? So we count backwards on the chart. If you'll see at the bottom left there, count backwards from the return of Jesus Christ. In Daniel 12 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Organized efforts of God's work to proclaim the gospel to the world end." And you can find this in Amos 8 and verse 11 and John 9 and verse 4. The time of Jacob's trouble will begin. Revelation 12 shows us that the physical Israel and spiritual Israel are tied together. You know, the majority of the work is physical Israel. You know, could it be that I heard a sermon by Dr. Levy that the whole world is $152 trillion in debt. $152 trillion. Man doesn't like to be in debt. They don't like to be owed. You're going to have to give me my money. They don't like to forgive debt. And there's going to come a time where that debt may have an impact on this time of Jacob's trouble. When this happens, and there's no more money to fund the work, the going out of the gospel. You know, these are just some things to be watchful for. This is 75 days before the beast power takes over and the abomination is set up. Christ warns us in Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until the time, no, nor ever shall be. Luke says in Luke 21, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. God does allow us to learn the parable of the fig tree so that we can make our lives alert and to be watchful and not sleepy. Fight sleep. I know that's very hard to do. We all know what physical sleep deprivation does to us. But we have to fight that spiritual sleep that we all have the potential of falling into. To guard our minds, to guard our hearts, to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. 75 days before the beast power set up, the organized work of proclaiming the gospel to the world ends. Now we come to Daniel 12, verse 11. And from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 45 days later, the sacrifices in Jerusalem will cease. This is 30 days before the armies surround Jerusalem. At this time, the church goes to the place of safety. Those who do not have the seal of God, those that have not made themselves ready, who do not heed the warnings of God, who become sleepy, who have the Laodicean attitude, thinking they're rich, and God will allow them to go through to wake them up. You know, if you want to know more about the place of safety, Mr. Horchak gave a Bible study last Friday night. You can look it up on the Friday Night Live archives on the place of safety. So let's continue in Revelation 6 and verse 12. Revelation 6 and verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Well, let me back up. On the bottom of your sheet, I just touched on it, but we'll go to it. Daniel 12, verse 7. You don't even have to go there. I didn't write it in my notes. Let me turn to it. Daniel 12, and verse 7. And I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. 3.5 years, the church of God will be in the place of safety. Now let's read Revelation 6 and verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the Lord, great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The sixth seal is immediately after the tribulation has begun, but before the day of the Lord begins. This is the time the Lord's wrath upon those who refuse to repent. God is a loving God who wishes none to perish, but all men to come to repentance. And God warns, and He warns, and He's patient. But sin must be disciplined. Sin must be done away with. Sin cannot be allowed to continue. Christ did not come to condemn, as we talked about earlier. He came to save mankind. But a person must repent to have the blood sprinkled on them. Otherwise, they're still in their sins. If they don't come to Christ, they have to give their own blood. God, out of love, will discipline the world in these seven trumpet plagues. The church teaches that we don't know exactly the time frame of the day of the Lord. Reading from the old magazine, the book of Revelation unveiled on page 16, it says, "The length of God's judgment is nowhere specified in Revelation, unless it is implied in the expression, 'the great day of His wrath has come.' In some other prophetic passages, God specifies that a day represents a year of punishment. For instance, like the spies in Numbers 14. If that same principle applies here in Revelation, the day of the Lord would be the final year before Christ returns. It would probably also correspond to the last year of the 3.5 years of Satan's wrath." And we see on the sheet the wrath of Satan and the day of the Lord would overlap. So we will briefly cover these seven trumpets this afternoon. Like I said, if you want to know more about it, you can go to Mr. Meeker's classes. Before the day of the Lord begins, there are four angels at the four corners of the earth, and they hold back the winds of the earth. And now we're in Revelation 8. Or Revelation 7, I'm sorry. Another angel ascends from the sun, having the seal of God, and he tells them, "Do not harm the earth until he has sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." You know, what does this mean to be sealed? As I said earlier, Ephesians 4 and verse 30 tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Be alert. Be ever mindful, always coming before God and Jesus Christ, walking with Him each and every day, asking for more of His Holy Spirit so that we're not falling asleep. But it says, "By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We are sealed by God's Holy Spirit in us. Christ tells us in Mark 16 that those who have believed and have been baptized shall be saved. We'll be in the place of safety. But those who don't have the seal, those who hear the Word of God and let the things of this life choke out the Word, you know, they say it's not for them. You know, they look to the physical things of life. They would rather, like Adam and Eve, you know, they would rather look to the physical things. They wanted to look at the physical world around them instead of looking at the spiritual world tomorrow that we will all have an opportunity to be in. In Revelation 7, verse 14, tells us these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Again, read chapters 2 and 3 to see the attitudes of the churches that may repent. How we can escape, how a person can escape from having to go through the tribulation that is coming upon this earth, Satan's wrath. It's those mindsets that we have to guard against. And God has given us His Spirit to do so. So there will be 144,000 that come out of the great tribulation, along with an innumerable multitude. These are the 12,000 from each 12 tribes of Israel. These are the ones that Satan is going to war against for 3.5 years. This physical nation that God started millennia ago, or thousands of years ago, that He wanted them to be the congregation of His people, to be the example of when they went into Canaan, to be the example of what righteousness looks at, or is like. But they refused and would rather follow the God of this world. They would grumble. Now we begin the day of the Lord. Revelation 8 and verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the golden altar, or at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there was noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake. You know, brethren, do we take for granted our prayer life? Do we really cherish it, the gift that God has given us, that we can come before our Father each and every day and talk with Him, to have that personal talk with Him each and every day, all day long? And in our prayers, I think we take for granted that our prayers go up to heaven and they're going before God. And those same prayers that we groan before Him each and every day as we strive to overcome, those prayers are going before God. And those prayers are going to be put in this censer. They're going to be filled with the fire of the golden altar. And that censer is going to be thrown to this earth. The people of this earth are going to finally see what we pray for. God's kingdom. They're going to feel the wrath of God. They go up to the God of this universe. Those prayers of sighing that we do for the sin-filled world. Do we come before God and really strive to have the love of God, not to look at this world as human beings, but the mind of Satan, to have the love of God, the agape love that when Christ looked down on that cross and he said, God forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Are we growing in that love? God hasten the day that when you can come and take these people away from the darkness that is clouded this whole entire earth. Verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first four trumpets target the earth and the sea. A third of the earth is burned up. A third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the sea and creatures died. A third of the ships were destroyed. A third of the rivers and springs become bitter, and many men die. And a third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars are struck. These are the first four trumpets primarily target natural elements. They take away what we look to for our physical lives, the things that we worship instead of the God of this of the universe. The physical creation, God is going to destroy a third of it. In verse 13 and verse 12, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Now we're introduced to the three woes, the three last trumpet blasts. And I apologize for going so fast on this. I've only got an hour. But Revelation 9 covers the first woe, the fifth trumpet blast. John records what this looks like. And we tend to think that it's weapons. It's chemical weapons. The beast power is tormenting everyone on the earth. But God is still in control. God does not allow anyone to be killed for 5 months while this woe is going on. Men will seek death and will not be able to find it. And the beast's military power will have weapons that will sting like scorpion stings. And we're reminded once again that the real leader is over the beast. Who is the real leader over this beast's power? And it's Satan, whose name is Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in the Greek, which is translated destruction and destroyer. I told you Revelation 13, didn't I? Well, that's the inset chapter, I'm sorry. Chapter 9 and verse 13. Chapter 9 and verse 13, the sixth trumpet is the second woe. Evil influenced human nature will move to destroy all human life from the face of the earth. This woe describes the 200 million man army that is organized and will kill a third of mankind. In verse 20, it says, those that were not killed by these plagues still refuse to repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and silver and brass, of stone and wood. They did not repent of their murders, their sorcery, nor their immorality or thefts. Revelation 10 mentions seven thunders, but God doesn't allow John to write them down. It is at the end of the second woe that the two witnesses are killed. And the seventh trumpet is the last woe, the seven last plagues. Revelation 11 and verse 14. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The resurrection of God's saints has come. And this is what we look forward to as we come here on God's feast day, a memorial, a reminder each and every year to stay alert, to stay steadfast. You know, Christ is going to come in the cloud. He's going to come, and He's going to gather us up in that cloud as we read. And let's go to Matthew 24 once again. Matthew 24 and verse 31 from the New American Standard Version, he says, and he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. In verse 30, I should have started that with that. And then the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. You know, when I was studying this, when you Christ said, you know, as it is in the days of Noah. You know, when you read the account of Noah's of the flood, and God says the end of all flesh is before me, and after the flood he put something in the sky for all man to see. He put a rainbow there. And he said, I will never destroy man off the face of the earth. And he said this, he says, when I see the rainbow in the cloud, I will remember that the everlasting covenant that I will make with all mankind, and he uses the word nephesh, all of mankind, he uses those that he, when he sees the rainbow in the clouds. And, you know, it's not, God's not concerned about the fish, He's not concerned about oxen, is he? We know it's not. But let's turn over. When we see Christ coming, what are we going to see? Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1 and verse 26. Ezekiel 1 and verse 26. Now above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne. This is a New American Standard Version again. Like Lapis and Lazuli in appearance, and on that which resembled a throne, high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. And he said to me, Son of Man, stand up on your feet, that I may speak with you. When Christ comes in that cloud, it will be time for God to see that rainbow, when he will allow all mankind He will remember the everlasting covenant that He will begin with all mankind to have their minds opened. That the flesh will not always strive with the Spirit. That the flesh of man will be done away with. And we have that opportunity now. We get to see the rainbow of God in our lives. And then when Christ appears, we see that rainbow and we will shine just like Him. The same radiance that He has. He will send His angels with a great trumpet, the sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds and from the end of heaven to the other. Brethren, we have a lot to look forward to, a lot to stay alert for, that as we strive to look to grow and overcome, God has given us words to live by. He's given us His Word, His prophecy, to help us stay alert. So now let's go and learn this parable of the fig tree.